Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 287.
Oh, hi.
Hi. My name is Christopher Keo, and that lovely voice was Jason Aestreicher.
Hey, how's it going?
And joining us today, since both Jen and Gleff. That's what I was going with that. Jeff and Glenn could not make it with us, is Mr. Scott Sauer from Gamers Only Older. Scott, what's up, dude?
Word up.
Scott!
How you doing?
Is that what I'm supposed to say?
Yeah. You can say word up. It's a very Jeff thing to say.
Hey, okay. Hey, can we call...
what's up, duders?
Can we call Jeff and Glenn? Can we call them Gleff?
Gleff?
That's their couple name? Gleff.
I like that. Gleff.
That's nice.
Today, we're doing things a little bit different today, so we didn't really get a question of the week out last week, so we're going to do a one-part show. We're going to do distractions, news, new releases, I have a voicemail, and then we're going to do a new question of the week, which we do have ready.
Lies.
It's all edit magic. Before we do that, let's go around and see how everybody's doing. Scott, you're first, dude, man. What's up?
Oh shit, man. I don't know. I'm living the dream. I got rum in my belly.
Nice.
I got more rum in the cup here, and I'm talking to two Indicians who I haven't talked to in like forever.
This is pretty awesome. I feel the same way. I have rum in my belly as well. It floweth over in my cup, and I'm surrounded by good people.
That is right.
This is great.
Yeah. I've got beer in my belly. I'm not drinking it now, but I had plenty beforehand, so I think we're good.
So as Jason and I deteriorate over the course of the show,
I'll be getting more sober.
And potentially more irritable depending on the headache that might ensue.
this is a true statement.
but shit, I don't know. Things are going pretty well with me. I mean,
you have an event coming up pretty soon,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I was just about to say, it's been crazy busy. Like, the past couple of weeks, 3 weeks or so, have just been a ton of stuff prepping for Days of Goo, trying to get everybody that said they were coming to sign up and get t-shirts ordered and dice ordered, which was, like, awesome designs by Lisa.
Oh, I can't wait for those.
I haven't seen those yet. I'm glad I'm getting a set, though.
Yes, yeah.
I may have had a hand in the designing of that. I'm just saying... I helped a little bit. I'm kind of
okay,
proud.
Okay, so that makes things a little bit worse.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just kind of putting that out there. So if it sucks, it's my fault.
I mean, I know that your artistic ability is a little bit higher than mine, but that's not saying much. So
no, but they're turning out pretty well, and I've been working with ChessX. I don't know if you guys have heard of these people,
but they're like
crazy dice distributors for all sorts of different stuff, and they do custom dice and everything, and they have been like absolutely awesome to work with.
Is it seriously ChessX? Because that would be awesome.
Well, if you spell chess with one S, then yes. Chess with one S. That's a lot of S's.
ChessX.
That's great for audio. Shit, the upcoming weeks are just going to be even more crazy. For some reason, I thought it was like a brilliant idea to take the second part of my Microsoft certification like in 2 weeks, like 2 weeks prior to Days of Goo. That totally makes sense. Yeah, put a little pressure on myself, whatever. I'll do all right. But yeah, then just crazy stuff getting ready for that. And like, I don't know. It's with the holiday 4th of July coming up. Summerfest is in town. I'm seeing Rush next week.
Oh, nice.
That's cool. Awesome. I'm going with Joel Sherfinski or Five Spot.
Nice. Okay.
A band of gamers and Retroids. So
he's going to be wicked. I love him.
This will be the second Rush show that I've seen and my second show with him. So I'm thinking that it's got to kind of like turn into a tradition, which I would be totally okay with because Rush is flipping awesome. So good times. So for being as old as they are, man, they still make crazy noise on stage. Like,
shit.
Really good, talented, and, man, they have not degraded at all in their older age. I guess I'll say it that way.
Gotcha. So back to Days of Goo. What are the dates here again? It's late July, right?
Yes, July 26th through the 28th. That's a Friday through a Sunday. Doors open at 4 p.m. on Friday. Doors shut at 4 p.m. on Sunday.
I will fucking be there before 4. Maybe.
I was going to say, unless you're good peoples, and then you'll probably hang out longer than that.
And what's on the agenda again? I mean, obviously video gaming, hanging out, drinking and stuff, but we also have like board games and shit.
Yes. Oh, man. There's all kinds of crazy shit happening. First of all, I should say, I think I mentioned this when I was on your guys' show the last time, and I appreciate that opportunity yet again. But we've got all sorts of stuff going on. There's a couple of things. Blah, back up. It doesn't matter if you know anything about these things. As I talk about this, you don't have to have any prior knowledge of any of this stuff. This is a total learning environment. It's really just an opportunity for us to expose some of the things that we've been really loving and really enjoying to our fans and anybody else who wants to come. It is totally free to attend. It's in Brookfield, Wisconsin, on that weekend. So if you want to make the trip out, I know it's only like a month away, so that's probably hard to swing, but we would love to have you. Let us know. Email us podcast@gamersonlyolder.com or show up on Retroids, and we've got a thread out there. Right now it's a pretty small group, but that's totally cool because that just means that it's going to be intimate, if you will.
Oh yeah.
Not in that way.
Boo. Oh,
sorry. Speak for yourself, well, Sour. You make no promises about the intimacy.
But we're doing all sorts of cool stuff. Yeah, we're going to have some video game stations set up. Probably do a fighting game tournament. Judging by the people that are coming, I don't know how big that would be. But maybe we'll come up with some fun little knick-knacky sort of things to do with that. We are going to do a Summoner Wars bracket tournament, which is a card game that's kind of like a combination between Magic the Gathering and chess. Again, we're totally going to teach everybody Friday night, and then everybody's going to play. Coolest part about a lot of these things is the Summoner Wars tournament in specific. You get to walk away with a set of Summoner Wars cards, so you get to you totally have an incentive to play and try and do well. And by the way, anything, we're going to be playing with you guys, we being the goo, because it's silly for us to just sit there and moderate it. That would be lame. Mm-hmm. So we're totally going to join in, but for all of the prize related things, it's win or come in second to a member of the goo. So like, we're not walking away with any of this.
So even if Scott takes, you know, the first place,
which I will,
would, of course, I mean, obviously, but that dude that fought you in the grand finals, he's essentially taking the first place prize.
Yep.
Cool.
We're like claiming no prizes for ourselves. Saturday night, we're doing a couple of like big box events. One of the big ones is mine. We're doing a game called Eclipse, which is like a Space 4X board game.
I really wanted to try that one too.
It is easily the best board game I have ever played. Wow. It's just crazy cool. It seems like really overwhelmingly complex when you look at it, but once you're actually in the thick of it, you're making very specific decisions, and there's a lot to pay attention to, but even in your first game, you feel like you're starting to put together some interesting strategies, stuff like that.
Gotcha.
And the winner, or realistically, the person who comes in second in that is going to walk away with their own copy of the game. And that's pretty crazy because that's a $100 list price game. So, I mean, that's...
Yeah, I was really hoping to be able to come because I know that I was going to be helping out Adam with the Magic tournament that you guys were setting up, the Sealed Deck Magic tournament.
Yes.
I was really hoping to help out with that because I wanted to be a part of it. But, life got in the way, and that kind of sucks, but...
Yeah. Yeah, and that's totally the other thing that's going on with the big box is that, and I'm not, I know that there is a way in which he has figured out for people to walk away with cards, but I do not remember how exactly that's working. So I shouldn't say remember. I don't know that I've been filled in exactly how that's working.
Well, I know that him and I had a small chat, and I brought up the idea of like everybody gets to keep their cards because that's part of the entry. And then, whoever wins ends up going home with a box, like a booster box.
Yeah, I don't know what he decided on that.
Okay. I'm not sure what we haven't communicated about it in probably a couple months. So,
right. And with the way the funding went, we're throwing in a lot of the funding went towards the room itself, as well as like the incentives for everything. But a lot of the prizes and stuff are just flat out coming out of our own pockets. So it kind of turned into okay, you cover this prize and I'll cover this prize and Adam will cover the magic prize. So I don't know that I ever necessarily heard what the magic prize was, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So. But yeah, we're trying to do that sort of stuff. Depending on how the budget works out, we might throw in some raffle stuff too. It would be really nice if everybody that came could walk away with something. And with it being a smaller crowd, that's possible, but don't hold me to it. But the point is that it's a whole weekend of us just hanging out, playing games, being social, and I can vouch for every person on the list. It's cool people to hang out with.
A bunch of cool-ass drunk nerds. I'm sold right there.
Right. Doing a bunch of fun stuff, and hopefully it's things that you haven't necessarily been exposed to yet, and we can show you something that's really awesome, because I know that like Leo and I have been hitting up board games hard on our show for a couple of years now. I shouldn't say on our show. We talk about them on the show, but it ends up being a small portion. But like, I mean, we play board games almost every week. If not, then it's like 2 out of 3 weeks. And they're so much fun. And it's not what people automatically think when it comes to things like Monopoly or something like that. It's completely different than that. And really, really cool experiences. And I know so many video gamers that would absolutely love this sort of stuff. So it's like, please come. Let me show you how cool some of these things are.
Yeah, totally. Because, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I'm interested in, but I don't have a lot of people that I would necessarily like play these games with, you know, locally. So this is why it's a great opportunity for me to check this stuff out.
You work at Game Informer. I guarantee you that people in that office would absolutely love some of these things.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
It's just, you just need that one little carrot on the stick, the one little nibble that gets people coming back. And that's what I'm kind of hoping this is for people. But yeah, there's totally
a nibble on your carrot. I'm sold once again.
Something like that. There's definitely video games and stuff like that too. We're not ignoring that, but it's more exciting for me to talk about a lot of the other stuff just because that's the more unique, I guess, that you might get out of a Retroids style event at least.
Sure.
So
cool.
Yeah, it's totally fun. Again, July 26th through 28th. Let us know if you can come. Brookfield, Wisconsin. If you check out our website for the whole event, dog.gamersonlyolder.com. You can see all sorts of games that we'll have available. There's a lot more that we're bringing that aren't even on that list, so that's just a sampling of stuff. Also, there's hotel information on there. If you want to get a cheap room, it's like something like $89 a night for the block for us. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really not too bad when it comes to, you know, an event like this. So.
Yeah. And to our Retroids homies, man, if you like can only make it to like maybe one or two events a year, maybe you're like, I don't know if I should go to MGC because there's so many people and it's hard to, you know, spend time with anyone. This is going to be, you know, a very intimate event. So you'll be able to get some quality time in with some good people. So make the trip.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's also worth noting that even if you're only a few hours away and you can only come on Saturday or only come on Sunday, still totally worth it. So definitely do so. Let us know. Yeah. It'll be an absolute blast and we would love to have you. So
I'm there.
Cool. Damn. Jason, what's up, dude? How are you?
Not much, man. Hey, work is it's work. I don't want to jinx anything, but we sent a check to somebody today and we're apparently getting some gear soon. So I'm waiting with bated breath. We'll see how that goes. Like I said, I'm not going to get too excited unless the shit's like right in front of me and I'm like unboxing it and there's packing peanuts everywhere, but motions are being made. So I'm excited for that.
All right. Hmm. Good deal.
Otherwise my back's against the wall with like editing video and stuff. So busy, okay. Busy.
Gotcha.
Yeah. How about you, Chris?
I've had better days.
Yay.
I'm not going to go into details, but
you don't have to.
No, I don't want to, but long story short, my mother is sick, so I'm trying to take care of that. But work is still doing really well and that's at full speed now. I've got a major project that we're working on and that's all fallen into place and you know, it's just trying to get through this this difficult time that's going to be ahead of us. So, but enough about that. I'm not going to try and steer this into a depressing rant because that's not where this podcast belongs. So let's talk about some games.
Sure.
Sure.
Scott, you haven't been on the show in a long time, man. Let's talk about what you're playing.
Everything from the last time you were on till now.
No. No, please well, not.
Actually, it's not really a lot. I kid. Realistically, though, the past week or two, I have actually not been playing a lot of games. Like I said, I've been crazy busy, but I have dug into a couple of things. I guess the newest thing on my list, maybe this is worth mentioning. I don't know if you've touched this at all yet or not, Chris, but I downloaded Magic 2014.
Talked about that yet.
It is Magic. It is the most refined that Magic has been on consoles. So there's that. It's nice that they're iterating on it, that they're making nice little tweaks. I still would love to know why the D-pad is not a navigational tool and instead it does the camera 180. It absolutely drives me nuts. You guys know what I'm talking about?
No.
They want you to move around the cards on the screen using the analog stick. And I want to use the D-pad all the time.
Way more precise, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Well, you hit right on the D-pad, it'll flip the camera 180 degrees so you can see from your opponent's point of view. What the? Who
Cause
that's
does necessary.
That anyway?
It's like, hold on, pause. And you walk behind your opponent.
Right?
Oh, interesting.
Shield your cards. It's so bad. Like and we've been talking about it ever since the first iteration of it. It's like, why do you do this? And every time, without fail, every game, I will try that at least once because it just feels natural to go straight to the D-pad. But no.
Especially when you're dealing with very tiny, minuscule, portions, divisions and stuff. Like you've got all these cards lined up and, you know, you're on this one. You want to just go down to that one. You would think the D-pad would bring you there, but no.
You're looking at your hand, which is comprised of, I don't know, 5-6 cards, maybe. The cursor's on the left one. You want to move to the right. Doesn't the D-pad feel right at that point?
Totally.
Yeah, but that's why they don't use it, because it feels right.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. But we've been bitching about that for iterations, and I don't understand at all why you would ever even do that, but whatever.
Speaking of iterations, this is like the third or fourth version. Like they're doing fourth. Okay. Yeah. So what's different about this one? Obviously the deck building, I think, is the big draw right?
Well, they have all the same iterations that they've had in the past, right? UI tweaks, new decks for you, new pre-assembled decks for you to play with that you can unlock additional cards for. You can swap decks in and out of that. The only real advantage to this one over previous ones is they also let you adjust the number of lands that you have in it, which is nice because they always put way more land in their decks than I would.
Oh, yeah.
From a percentage standpoint, at least. So it's nice to be able to tweak that a little bit. But yeah, the big new caveat, the big new bullet point that they have is a new format that they're new to the electronic version, not new to the game by any means. But they've added in the sealed deck format where you basically get 6 booster packs and you virtually open them up and you try to make the best deck you can out of that and, you know, supplement those cards with land and all the rest of that. You play through 5 or 6 opponents on a straight path sort of campaign. And over the course of that campaign, you unlock 3 new booster packs. At any point in time, you can take whatever deck you've built. You can change it, mess with it however you want. Or you could take it online. So you can actually play your sealed deck against somebody else. Now, so it's kind of nice from that standpoint.
Can you do a sealed deck style tournament, multiplayer?
Mm-mm.
No. So you can't just connect with somebody, you get a sealed deck and construct something. That's
no.
That would have been awesome. No.
You get this campaign format. Like I said, you start with the 6 boosters. You could unlock 3 additional boosters by playing through this campaign, but that is the only that and playing somebody one-on-one is the only. Like, there's no bracket style or round robin or anything like that that would be kind of neat. It would also be kind of neat if they included some sort of draft or something like that. But
totally, yeah.
I mean, that's pray for that in a further iteration, because you know they're Activisioning the shit out of this one, right? So
yeah,
you know, once a year kind of thing. But you know, that's potentially possible. The biggest drawback to the sealed format, and I haven't verified this by any like news outlet or anything like that, but I think that the cards that they're giving you in those boosters is a subset of the full Magic 2014 set.
Oh.
Like, I don't think that you're opening a full, like, I don't think you have range to any card in there, because the handful of opponents that I've played, they've had a surprising number of overlapping cards to what I have.
Okay.
And like, of the boosters that I opened with my first campaign slot, I'll explain the slots in a second, but of the boosters that I opened in my first campaign slot, remember, six boosters initially, each one of those boosters comes with one rare card. That's been the key to Magic's money-making ever since its inception, right? Three copies of the same rare card in the first six packs I opened.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's a rare card that I would never, ever, ever possibly use. So it was really, really disheartening to play. It would be a fun card to make a deck around, so having three copies of it would be pretty fun, but the problem is that none of the cards that I got really support that as a strategy, so it might as well be dead weight. And so I, between the commonalities that I'm seeing between the opponent computer decks and my deck, I'm getting the feeling like they're not using the full complement of cards. I get the feeling like they're doing a subset. And they also do this other thing where you can start building your deck, whether it be one card or 30 cards into your deck, and then you can hit a button and the computer will take a best guess at what the best deck is using your remaining cards.
Weird.
So if you wanted to build a deck around one card and wanted the computer to give you a starting point or an approximation of what's good, you would pick your one card and then say, okay, finish my deck. Now, once it's finished, you can go and tweak it and all the rest of that. So it's actually not a terrible idea, because maybe it just kind of fills it out. Maybe it clues you into an idea that you didn't necessarily see otherwise. But I have to imagine that if they've got an AI that will sift through that, they probably didn't do it for every card.
You're probably so right.
I see what you're saying.
Between those three things, I just get the overwhelming feeling like, and I don't know how big Magic core sets are anymore. I don't know how many number of cards or number of differing cards there are in it. But if that number is like 300, it would not surprise me if there's only like 160 cards in the sealed format.
Interesting.
So I don't know. I don't know. This is conjecture, because I'm only basing it off of the things that I witnessed, but there's nothing that says, oh, you're using a subset of cards. But I would love to see that confirmed or denied somewhere. Because, like I said, from the limited experience that I've had with it, I was just kind of like, wow, you have three copies of the same, you know, common that I have three copies of out of the whatever, you know, 100 cards we opened.
Sure.
It's like, that doesn't seem quite right.
It doesn't. I mean, maybe it is just completely and truly random, you know? Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. Without spending more time on it, I don't know, you know, if this is a fluke or what. So like I said, pure conjecture. The other part that's kind of weird about it, and totally fitting for Wizards of the Coast, is that when you start your sealed deck campaign, you pick one of two slots that you have open. You say, I'm starting in this slot. And you get your six boosters, you play whatever, do whatever you want with those cards, right? There's no option to delete that sealed campaign out of that slot. And after the second one, they want you to spend more money.
Oh, okay. So you can add more slots down the road. But
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. But so, you only get two, and there is no option to delete it.
Not delete it, but I mean, could you like choose
restart.
A different...
No.
Okay. No. Not from scratch, but... You can still like modify it like extensively, right?
Right, but you can never get more than those nine boosters.
Oh, I see. Okay.
At the start, and then three over the course of the campaign, but then forever on, that slot will only have those cards selectable.
Okay. I guess I do kind of understand that.
You can only do that twice before you have to pay them additional money for additional slots.
Mm-hmm.
It's Wizards of the Coast.
Digital stuff is so strange. Like, you know, they don't want to fully embrace it, but they want to offer it. You know, it's the carrot on the stick, really.
Right.
You know, they give you a taste of, you know, what it's like to play Magic and, you know, card collecting and whatnot. But they're still not ready to just, like, you know, completely just let it open. Do you know what I mean?
Right. See, and I wish... Okay, my final thought on Magic 2014 is going to sound maybe potentially a little pompous, but after playing a game called Netrunner, I don't know if you guys have heard of this at all or not, but it's a living card game produced by Fantasy Flight Games. Living card game is different than collectible. Now, I'm talking about physical card game at this point in time. Living card game is that when you go out and you buy an expansion pack for this, you know exactly what you're getting. You know, there's no randomization to it whatsoever. You have this set number of cards that are existing in this expansion, but yet it still follows the same sort of Magic, the Gathering kind of deck building sort of stuff, all the rest of this. After playing that game blows the shit out of Magic so bad in terms of like strategy and tactics and what's the word for it? Like the psychology of playing against somebody else, that going back and playing Magic after I've spent 6 months playing Netrunner is like, this game is fucking boring. Like, Magic plays itself. The interesting parts of Magic is the deck building. And thank God that in Magic 2014, they included that to some degree in an electronic format. But I strongly believe that once you've built your deck, either that deck's going to work or it's not. And the number of choices that you actually make over the course of playing that game is so limited. And what's fucked up is that the person that designed Magic designed Netrunner.
He just evolved. He leveled up.
So it's, right? So I'm just like, oh my God. Like I like Magic. I still had enjoyment playing it, but as I was playing it, I'm like, man, this is just not as interesting. So I pray to God for everybody out there that doesn't want to invest in any sort of actual card game. I pray that at some point they bring Netrunner out, because it will change your concept of what a card game should be.
There we go.
I'm off my soapbox.
That's a pretty positive endorsement, Scott Sauer.
Yeah.
Magic 2014 was pretty fun. If you're a fan of Magic, you're still going to love it, and it's nice that they included the deck building. So,
like a $10 price point. Yeah, that's your price of your point of entry. Yeah.
And it's totally worth it, because the campaign has just as many decks in it as previous iterations. It's just as long. Plus, they added this other stuff.
Cool.
Like this. So, I mean, you know, initial price to entry, totally worthwhile if you're a fan of Magic at all.
Yeah. With most digital games starting at $15, $10 is kind of a, I could easily throw that down.
Right. So speaking of games that we've been playing forever, I have been on this total Mega Man kick on the 3DS. I don't know how it happened. No idea. But I think it was a combination of Mark, a singer. I was over at his place, Savory Cade, for those of you who don't know him by name. He was playing some Mega Man stuff on Wii U Virtual Console when I was over there. So I was kind of getting the itch for that. And we had our top five games of all time show, and I listed Mega Man 2 as one of the games that is easily in my top five.
Nice.
Which totally got this itch going. So I went and I bought Mega Man 2, because I haven't bought it in half a dozen other places already. But I got this new 3DS, so I'm like, hey, this seems like a good D-pad. I'll try it out,
It is.
And of course, because I play through Mega Man 2 basically yearly, I freaking blazed through it in no time whatsoever. And I'm like, I want more Mega Man. So I bought Mega Man 3, which I do not remember at all. Oh my God.
Kind of blend together for me after a while. Yeah.
Right. So Mega Man 2, I've beaten so many times, and it's the only Mega Man that I actually owned on the NES. All the rest of them I had borrowed or rented or whatever. So when I started up Mega Man 3, I'm looking at the screen. I'm like, I don't know who any of these fucking people are. I don't even remember what order I should go in. So I've been slowly plugging my way through that. I only do the whole Virtual Console save state in between bosses. I refuse to do the, I did pretty well on this screen, so I'm going to
save right before the boss. Yeah.
So I've been refusing to do that, but I beat all the normal bosses, and I'm on the place where you go and you fight the mimics from Mega Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm doing pretty well through that, but I can totally see myself going and buying Mega Man 4 after I finish this one.
Why not?
Just seriously. Like, I don't know. I'm totally on this kick, and I'm having an absolute blast with it. And it might just be because I can pick it up for 5 minutes and try to get through a level. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
I don't know. It's been totally cool. Also, on the old tip, now that I actually have a 3DS, I got around to playing The World Ends With You, which I'm about.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm about halfway through. I absolutely love the combat in that game. The story might as well be throwaway in my mind, and the characters are...
Also throwaway, whatever.
Pushing my buttons in not a good way. But the combat is absolutely brilliant in that. I love the use of the dual screens. It's absolutely cool from that standpoint. Adam clued me into how good the soundtrack is, too, so I've been kind of enjoying that side of things as well. Like, most of the time when I play the, like, portables, I have the sound turned off. So I've been... He mentioned it on our last show, so I've been trying to, like, plug my earbuds in and listen to it. And
good.
It's pretty good stuff.
I try like hell to listen to the soundtrack of all these, you know, portable games. It seems like blasphemy to me to not listen to the soundtrack of a game.
Right.
So I make a concerted effort to plug in some headphones or something.
I try, but the truth is that most times when I'm playing portable games, it's not a point in time when I want the volume on, you know, so
yeah,
I either have to go through the extra effort of having earbuds or headphones handy or just not do it. Okay. You know, so it's just how I operate. I don't do the I'm sitting in the room with my full-fledged console but I'm still gonna play my portable kind of notion very well.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's something that still divides in my head where I'm like, well, if I have my TV right there, why the fuck wouldn't I be playing something big and gorgeous on the TV?
True.
You know, like, I can't help it, but...
Well, it depends on what game you want to play, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. There's still something just psychologically about that I do not do well.
You need to get over that, sir.
So the portable is always like I have 10 minutes, I will fit something in, you know, on the portable. But a lot of times, you know, maybe... Sarah's sitting on the couch watching TV. Well, I don't want to, like, blast the music on that because that's just going to disrupt her. Maybe I'm too nice. Maybe that's what it is.
That's always been your problem, Scott. Too nice.
Fuck that bitch.
Fucking Sarah.
God damn it. Hmm. Yeah. So I don't know, but I've been trying to make a concerted effort because Adam really pointed it out on our show. And yeah, it's pretty good from a soundtrack perspective. But yeah, mostly it's just I love the leveling system, love the combat, which surprisingly is enough for me in a lot of role-playing games. So
yeah, sure.
The only other thing that I've been playing, I apologize, I'm listening to your guys' show from last week tomorrow. Have you guys talked about Last of Us at all?
I've heard of it.
We have, yeah.
It doesn't...
We can continue to talk about it if you would like.
Okay.
I didn't get that much further in it this week, to be honest with you, but...
How far are you?
I am currently shortly after where the demo is, where the demo ends. I don't know if you played the demo.
I intentionally avoided the demo, but I'm going to assume that that's like early on in the game.
The demo is that first area where Joel says, wait here. And he goes and he has to take out four runners and a clicker.
Oh, that is the worst fucking room in the whole game.
In the whole game?
I'll explain that in a minute, but yes.
Yeah, I'm slightly past that because after that you get to a room that's got like five or six clickers. And
yeah.
I got pissed off at that part because I spent probably about 10 minutes or so slowly and, you know, methodically, carefully walking around, sneaking around, making sure they didn't hear us. And because of a misinterpreted button press of some sort, like I was actually heading out of the room and out of the encounter, and there was a runner like keeled over, mm-hmm. and I went to strangle it, and it did the fast takedown instead, which alerted all the clickers. So I kind of got into the corner and like just waited it out, and they were in the process of exiting the room that I was in, and there was one clicker that was heading in my direction. So I went to, you know, to grab and shiv it, And then one of my what's her name? The chick that's with you fires her gun like three times, and all of a sudden all of the clickers come back and I'm fucking dead. And they start me at the very beginning of that encounter again, and I was like, you know what, that I don't want to do this again. That was not fun. I do not want to do this again. So I just haven't gone back to it yet.
I can totally see that, though. Like, I've had several instances of shit just like messing up on me, and it's like, this part is not fucking fun at all.
No, it is not. It is not fun. I mean, I appreciate what they're trying to do, but you know what? Fucking checkpoint me. It's like, the worst part about it was that, you know, there's the entrance to that room, and what I did is that, like, the room, like on the other, on one side of the room, there's like this little, it's almost like a little convenience store that you can go into and grab a bunch of stuff. So I actually went, like, there's a room to the right, and I went through that room. And around, went into that convenience store, grabbed a bunch of stuff, and then I ended up taking out a runner that was feeding, and then ended up back at the beginning. Once I got back at the beginning, fucking checkpoint me there if that's where the starting point is in the first place. It's like, why do I have to do everything I just did when I am now in the part where you checkpointed me in the first place? So, and then, yeah, so it's
how far frustrated. Are you, Jason?
I've beat it, actually.
Oh, okay.
I am done with that bitch.
Wow. Oh my god, you guys are breaking my brain.
No. Don't get me wrong. You haven't listened to last week's show. Like,
I am nitpicking the fuck out of
certain mechanics of
the game. We are not saying it is a bad game by any means.
This is kind of second look stuff. Like, we overall love the fucking game. So, I mean, don't get us wrong. Like, there are several, like, brilliant moments. Overall, the game's just awesome. But there's a few things that really just fucking get under my skin.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me back up to what I was saying before when I said that wait here and there's the one clicker and the four runners. And the reason why I say that's the absolute worst encounter in the entire game. Now, granted, I've only played like half the game, so I'm kind of hyperbolizing there. But that is the worst encounter in the entire game, because I spent 45 minutes, hour maybe, on that encounter, mostly because I was trying to unlearn everything that other games had taught me.
Okay. Yeah, because you were trying to like cover and shoot or something.
No,
like that.
No, I never really tried that as an approach, but I've played a ton over the past tons, probably a little bit of a hyperbole too, but over the past couple of years, I played quite a few stealth related games, right? We're talking Mark and Ninja. We're talking Hitman Absolution. I played Splinter Cell Conviction.
Yeah. Throw that shit out the window. I know exactly what you're talking about.
All of that stuff is totally meaningless in this game. And the whole reasoning behind it is because there's absolutely no visual indications of how close somebody is to actually noticing you. And all of those games do it in some way or another. Deus Ex as well is another one. All of those games are giving you constant feedback, some better than others, but all of them are giving you constant feedback in terms of like, oh, this person is close to noticing you. But you know, once this meter hits this point, or the spike on the circle around your crosshairs hits this point, that's when you're discovered. That doesn't exist in The Last of Us. It does, but it's not really communicated to the player. The closest thing that it ever comes, and it took me a while to even notice it, is this swell in music. There's this like ominous sort of sound. And at first I never noticed it because it's totally theatrical, right? Like, the whole game is made up of really ambient, creepy noises, you know, so to have these weird swells, I didn't necessarily connect the two at first. So doing that first room was absolutely brutal, because I just felt like they weren't giving me enough information. Like, after playing all of these other games that give you feedback, like I said, some better than others, but they give you this feedback, and then you walk into there and you are just like, this is totally broken. Why did that guy see me this time? Or I threw the bottle over there and then tried to strangle him, and it worked this time, but it didn't work this other time. What the hell? It was like an hour of complete frustration.
It's super strange. Like, if they're not holding our hand by giving us a vision cone or anything like that, but at the same time, you would think that like trial and error would knock this stuff out, you know, going through the same patterns, but they changed it up a little bit. And also it's like, inconsistent as to, like, it seems like they can see farther sometimes than other times. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 They're, yeah, it's not always necessarily clear what, you know, particular distance they have. That's a good thing. Or distance on their hearing, mm-hmm. right? Because sometimes it seems like they notice stuff and other times not. But I tell you, after I spent like an hour like really dissecting what I was trying to do and messing around with that, I have never felt unfairly treated since then. And I cannot say that about any of the other stealth games that I've played. And that's only because I was like really putting my mind to trying to understand what was going on. And there are totally things that exist like vision cones. And sometimes the distances are harder to judge, but I learned so many little quirky little techniques in there that makes the game totally, I don't want to say like easy because that gives the wrong impression, because in other encounters there are, it still freaking works me up. I can't play that game for more than like 2 hours because even with the confidence that I have in their system of stealth, there's still things that just fucking just, it's just tense to be in that situation. When you're constantly, oh, crap, where do I need to be? And you can get away with a lot more in that game than I think they give you the impression of early on. Like, in terms of just, like...
That's like absolutely weird, true, like, yeah. Just, like, I've shivved people, just, like, stab them to death 10 feet away from somebody else, and it's like, you can't hear the blood-curdling cries right, coming from this guy. It's like,
Well, the difference is, and this breaks the fourth wall quite a bit, right, is that they tell you doing something this way is silent and doing something this way is not. But yet the actual volume levels of what you're witnessing when you're seeing the little cutscene of whatever's happening, mm-hmm. like same noise. So it's like deceiving to think that, well, I'm choking this guy out and he's making all these crazy gurgling noises and but no, that's totally okay.
Hey, what do you know? A Naughty Dog game with sloppy game mechanics. Wow.
Oh, there's the Jason.
There, I'm done. There he is. That was it. That was my only jab. All right.
But I'm absolutely in love with this game. But the weirdest part about it is somebody asked me this the other day. I mentioned this on our show as well. He said, so you're having fun with it. And I'm like, no, not really.
Oh, the game is not fun.
Fun is a terrible adjective to describe this game.
The game is not fun, period.
I think it is absolutely brilliant. I think it's an awesomely done game, and I cannot wait to see the way that it resolves, because the way that people are talking, it hasn't spoiled, nobody's spoiled anything for me, but the way that people are talking about it, I know that there's going to be something cool in the last, I don't know, third quarter of the game or whatever. So I'm very much so looking forward to that. I love the interactions between the two characters, but nothing about the experience is particularly fun. You feel a sense of an accomplishment when you really like dissect a room well. Like, it's totally awesome in the way that like Hitman is totally awesome when you set off this chain reaction of events that kills somebody in like this totally brilliant way, right? But like it gets that, but the actual experience of doing that is not necessarily fun. It's tense and unsettling. And like I said, I can't play the game for more than like 90 minutes or 2 hours before I have to take a break. And if it's the last thing that I'm doing at the end of the night, I force myself to like watch dumb TV for a half an hour before I go. It's not because I'm scared. It's just, I'm so engrossed in the game that like, I just feel my body like clenching up when I play it.
And this kind of goes along. It's like it's really hard for me to play that game right now, you know, because I've got so much shit going on. It's like I don't need one more thing that's that stressful.
This is not an escape.
It is stressful. It is very stressful, and it's like I don't need that. So it's like, you know, I've been like, I want to play Last of Us, and I played Last of Us literally one time this week. And I ran into that situation that I mentioned, and I was like, I am done with this right now. I'm not, it's not anything against the game. It's just that I am not currently in the mindset to play that game.
No, totally. I'm not going through any of the stuff that you're going through. And yet there was a point in time the other night when I texted Leo, who is like freaking like huge boner over this game. And I said, dude, I really want nothing better than to play Last of Us tonight, but I just can't. Like, I just need to veg. Like, I can't, I know that I can't walk into that situation because it's going to be crazy intense and, you know, and I don't know if it's just me getting so engrossed in it or just because I love the tension that stealth creates. This isn't even like a horror tension. This is just a, I'm in this crazy situation where I'm trying to protect this girl and there's like 15 dudes with machine guns and I have to figure out a way through that, because in any encounter in this game, unless you come up with some like really nice little kind of kill hallway sort of setup, you don't want to fight more than two guys of anything in this game at any point in time. Mm-hmm. It's just like a losing proposition. So I just love the parts of that it creates. And I have to give huge props to any game that can put me in that kind of mind space, because it's a video game. You know what I mean? It's not, it has a couple, but it's not trying for like cheesy jump scares. It's not trying to really make me unsettled. It's just, I am that engrossed in the experience that I walk away from it going, oh my God, you know? And that is cool as hell, because that is super rare. Mm-hmm. It is very rare for me to ever disconnect the notion that I'm playing a video game from actually playing a video game.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's impressive shit. And I can't wait to see how it wraps up.
I can't wait to see what Naughty Dog can do on the next generation console.
Right.
Considering how well they did with this game. So.
Right.
Very true. And I think a lot of that is, you know, just like progression, you know. I mean, if we look back to the first Uncharted, you know, it's probably going to seem a little archaic compared to like Uncharted 3 or this.
Yeah, I agree.
But even so, yeah, they've got a great team over there.
Yeah, I was originally a little skeptical of Last of Us because like I felt like Naughty Dog had really found their itch. I know it's not, or their niche, excuse me. Mm-hmm. I know it's not the only thing that they've made, but to me, and to probably a lot of people, Naughty Dog is synonymous with Nathan Drake, right?
Sure.
So, okay, great. You can make this big, and this is, I'm not meant to be downplaying Uncharted for what it is, but I'm like, okay, great. You can make this fantastic summer hit movie.
Right.
Now you do something else. And after seeing The Last of Us, even if it is, you know, has some archaic mechanics at times, I can't wait to see what Project X is next. Like, I don't, what, there's been, you know, there's been speculation about, you know, Uncharted 4 being their first venture on the PS4. And God, I hope that's not the case. As much as I wouldn't mind seeing Nathan Drake again.
No,
the Last of Us just shows me that they have the capability to do whatever they want to put their minds to. And I can't wait to see more brand new creativity.
Didn't they announce that their first game on PS4 was going to be Jack?
I see. I don't know. I don't know.
I'd be okay with that too.
Yeah.
Even if they did, like I said, I don't equate that. You say a new Jack game and I go, okay. I don't automatically assume Naughty Dog in that case, even though that's obviously the case. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't know. That's pretty much all I got now that I've babbled for half an hour.
Sorry. Not bad.
All right, well, Jason, what are you playing?
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. I have one more thing.
Oh, Jesus.
Have you not talked long enough? Jesus Christ.
This will take 30 seconds. Okay. I promise.
I'm timing you. Go.
For like the first time in months, Leo and I had a night of Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
What?
And I miss fighting games so much.
Oh, I've been missing you, dude. We still keep pretty regular, you know, weekly thing going on. But
I know it's just schedules, man. But oh, I miss it. Yeah. I miss it. I totally need to get back. I miss you guys.
Is Cross Tekken your current kick? Because we've been playing a shitload of Injustice.
I haven't.
The game's really good.
I know you guys keep talking about it. I haven't moved off of it yet because I literally have not been playing that many games lately. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, I mean, Last of Us has been out for what, a week and a half now, and I'm 10 hours into it.
Yeah. And the last thing you want to do is have to relearn a fighter. And this is something you would have to like learn before you like really enjoyed it, I think. But
I tried, what's its name? The free to play Tekken one, Revolution.
Yeah.
I spent a night messing around with that, but I have no experience with Tekken. So it was not good.
That's
they
a
need
whole
to put
other world,
the,
yeah.
The free training mode that they were talking about doing.
That Herrera was talking about.
So, yeah.
Yeah, he was like, oh, yeah, nobody really cares about training mode. Bullshit.
What kills me is they're like, we're trying to make this accessible to everybody and da 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 da. So we dumb down the systems, which is great, but it's still like, okay, I can't learn playing against somebody who's been playing Tekken for 10 years when you only give me 5 coins for, you know, an hour or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is just a terrible way to learn this game. So I'm like, okay, when you put the training mode back in, then maybe I'll give it another shot. No, I just totally miss, like, I miss the camaraderie of it, and I miss the, you know, that sense of, like, mastery of trying, like, I've never claimed to be a master at any of the games, but getting better at them was such a cool and rewarding, like, intrinsic experience that I definitely need to do that more. I feel like that has been missing. And quite honestly, we've been playing so many board games and stuff like that lately that has chewed into a lot of my gaming time, so it's like I'm trading one awesome thing for another awesome thing that's equal, but in a completely different way. So I don't know. It's hard, but I miss it. I miss you guys.
I miss you too.
I don't have Injustice, but maybe we should make something else happen tonight. Just saying.
I'll see what I can do.
All right.
Totally. Hey, can I talk about games now?
Yes, I'm done. I'm sorry.
I don't have too much to...
Can't invite me on the show and expect me not to talk. It's just like...
That was the plan. It's like, who can we get to talk about games for an hour so Chris and I don't have to talk? Oh, Scott was the guy that came to mind. First and foremost.
That's spectacular. You welcome that.
All right, so I don't have a ton to report on. I've been pretty busy with work, but in my spare time, I've been playing this. Oh my god, it's a fucking mobile game called Puzzle and Dragons.
I'm playing that too.
Seriously, shit,
it's ridiculously crazy fun. Addicting. And simple. Right. I don't.
So okay, go baseline. Ahead. I mean, it's that whole match three, you know, like Bejeweled or like, you know, Puzzle Quest, you know, which we adored the shit out of.
But the weird thing is you can move gems wherever the fuck you want.
Yes, and that's really cool too. It's like it's not a one-off thing. Like if I want to line up like a 5 fucking gem thing, I can take 2 turns in order to do that and just fucking obliterate everybody. All right, so let's back up a little bit. So we've got elements, right? We've got fire, we've got earth, we've got ice, we've got light and dark. And if you match these up, you know, you produce an attack, you know, to the enemies that you're fighting on screen. And, you know, everybody has their weaknesses and resistance and shit. So, I mean, that's the basis of the combat, as it were. The meaning of the game is to actually collect more monsters and like level up monsters and evolve monsters and collect more shit.
It's Pokemon-y.
God damn, it's fucking Pokemon addicting. Quest? What's up?
Pokemon Quest?
Sure. We can call it whatever the hell you want, sure. But it's pretty awesome. And yeah, I can't stop playing it. I got super lucky. One of my first like rare pulls was this Archangel and her leader skill. You know, if you have her in the front slot, it says greatly heals HP when matching orbs. So any combo that I do, I get a shit ton of HP back. So it's just like, it's so fucking easy mode right now. And the only thing that kills me is like one shot things. If I'm fighting something that's like super powerful, you know, then I'm fucked, but go ahead.
Okay. So back up a sec. You say that you're lucky for having run into this. Is this randomly generated? You said it was some sort of rare drop or rare.
Exactly.
Occurrence?
Well, yeah, you can get monsters from several different ways. So you can, they can either like after you defeat them, they'll drop an egg and it'll hatch. Yep. Or you get like points for whether it be logging in a certain number of days in a row or, you know, when you take a friend on a quest or something like that and you get points. And if you use 100 of those points, you can actually get an egg out of this little like weird monster machine thing that they've got.
That little green dragon. And then it's some sort of die roll as to what the egg hatches. Yeah,
exactly.
Into.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so, yeah, and you can also accrue something called magic stones. And that's kind of like the main currency in the game. Like that's the this is a free to play game. And what they charge you for are these magic stones. And they can be used for anything from like restoring stamina, increasing your inventory slots. But also if you use like 5 of them, you get like a pull from, you know, this
it's like, you know, the, you know, you pop in a quarter and you turn the dial and something fucking, the capsule machines.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. Sure. So you can get a super rare.
And they have, and they have a rare one where if you pay some of these dragon stones, you can get a pull from the rare machine.
Mm-hmm. And so, I got a super good one, and it's, she's been carrying me throughout the entire game. Either way, it's fucking fun. I don't know why I'm so addicted to this stupid shit.
I play it like, I probably go through like one or two dungeons per day.
Okay.
So
anyway, Hey guys, go check that out. That game.
Yeah. It's fun stuff.
Fun. Yep. Another fun.
Is that only on Android or?
I think it's on iOS as well.
Okay.
It's called Puzzles and Dragons.
It's okay. Puzzle singular and dragons plural. It is.
There's only one puzzle, but it has lots of dragons.
And there's some like cheap knockoffs out there too, like Heroes and Monsters or something like that. Don't get that.
Oh yeah.
That was a mistake. But no, this game is super, super popular in like Japan, like millions of players. It's pretty crazy.
That's actually how I found it. They had a list that said big in Japan, and it was really? Like number one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking.
I don't think that's a category on iOS.
That's everybody. Even no, Chris is big in Japan.
Now they've got Candy Crush and everything else.
Like, yeah, pretty much.
Those are your two categories.
Sounds about right.
So last week we talked a little bit about Deadpool. Actually, that was the thing, is we didn't talk about it because it was during the pick of the week. That game is terrible, by the way.
I have heard that.
I heard they were like refunding some sort of money or something.
Yeah, that's only because like,
I only caught the headline.
PSN had the download version for $59.99, and the retail the MSRP is $49.99.
Right.
So they were refunding that.
Oh, just the difference then.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. It's not like the game is so bad they have to get their money.
They weren't refunding your money because the game sucked.
Okay. We all exist in the gamer journalist space where we see headlines like Deadpool's refunding money because of blah. It's like all trolling. It's like Destructoid, like amplified. That I didn't look into it because I didn't even know that it was a game.
The combat in and of itself, you know, whether it's, you know, the straight up fucking boring by the numbers melee shit, or, you know, the kind of clunky gunplay, is actually serviceable, but it's not serviceable enough to carry out through the entire game, because you know what, Deadpool's fucking annoying, and I love Deadpool, I love me some Deadpool, but Nolan North is super all kinds of annoying. In that fucking game.
North is Deadpool?
Yes.
That's weird.
Each iteration of Deadpool, because he has you know, multiple voices. He's schizophrenic, you know, to a certain degree. And he voices all of the voices in his head, as well as like some fourth wall breaking. Like Deadpool actually calls Nolan North on the phone at one point.
What?
Yes. I mean, there's those rare moments of like, awesome. These setups should be fucking brilliant and funny, but they just really come out flat, which is
executed.
Sad. Yeah, totally. But
can I have a tangent real quick?
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, Leo mentioned this on our show. Totally blew my mind. Did you know that Joel from Last of Us is Snow from Final Fantasy 13?
Weird, right?
Oh, that is weird.
No shit.
He's also the antagonist on, or protagonist, whichever one you would consider him, for Second Son.
Mm-hmm.
Infamous Second Son.
Okay. Yeah, that was announced kind of real quietly. Like they showed him in some like mocap stuff. And it's like, oh, okay, he's going to be in the game.
Yeah. You
know, I tell Leo, I totally have to go back and either like, and YouTube some like Final Fantasy 13 stuff, or go back and play it just so I can hear what Snow sounds like.
Well, he's got a really diverse
voice.
No way
I would have made that distinction.
That's the thing. Like, I can usually pick out Nolan North.
Yeah,
right.
But the other guy, I can't usually. And he's been in a lot of stuff as well. But
right,
yeah, he was Booker DeWitt in BioShock
right.
as well.
Oh, okay. I also. Since we're talking about voices, I'm curious if you guys had the same reaction. Leo and I did, but I'm sorry, Chris, you're not this far, but what's his name? Henry, who has the son Sam? Is that? Am I getting the name
the tokens?
Right?
Was that racist?
I totally thought that was Don Cheadle.
Get your hand off the button, Jason.
I totally thought that was Don Cheadle. Did you have that moment? I'm trying to just
I don't even know who you're talking about, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like I said, you're not actually not that far yet.
I don't know who you're talking about as far as the voice goes either.
I didn't hear it. Seriously.
Oh, okay.
I've never heard Don Cheadle like in street slang.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. Anyway, so sorry.
Maybe
tangent done.
Tangent now that you've over.
Set Nabashine.
Yeah, yeah. Deadpool's bad. Probably don't buy that unless it's like $10. What else we got? Oh, little indie game that I saw out at E3 that I've been meaning to download and play. Legend of Dungeon. Visually striking is the term that I would initially use. That's what drew me in. It's a
very unique way.
Yeah, so it's like a very simplistic, like 8-bit-esque sprites, but it's in a 2.5D world. But I mean, it's still 3D, so they make these sprites. Well, there's a lot of dynamic lighting. I can say that. So visually, this game is like super cool looking. Well, all right. So there's that. So it's a roguelike beat 'em up, right? And obviously, there's a fantasy element. It's got dungeon and legend in the title. So you basically traverse through, you know, this dungeon level by level, accruing new items, you know, whether it be hats or fucking outfits or, you know, new swords and shit like that. But it's 4-player local co-op, really cool looking, fun mechanics. And yeah, that dynamic lighting on the sprites looks so good. Seriously, Legend of Dungeon, please go check it out.
When's it pretty neat. Out?
Looks pretty neat.
That's the thing. It's been greenlit by Steam, so release is imminent. But currently, they're bouncing back and forth between alpha and beta. Like, you know, right now they're in like alpha, but like a month ago they were like beta 1.0. But then they went alpha. Back to alpha. Yeah. So alpha Minotaur, I think, is the official alpha release right now. But seriously, yeah, go check out a trailer. It's a lot of fun. Or if you want to buy it, if you buy the game right now, you can get direct access to the alpha. So I think it's cool. robotloveskitty.com. And you can find it for
nice.
What's the purchase price like?
Excuse me. $10, I think, for the game itself. $15 for the game plus soundtrack.
Okay.
That sounds very PRE.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
I love me my roguelikes.
Yeah,
like
seriously.
I've reinvented myself in those lately, it seems like. Mm-hmm. Between like Spelunky and Binding of Isaac.
Oh, well, good Spelunky's stuff. Coming to fucking Vita. Did you see that?
Oh, I'm so super stoked for
That's
that.
That's awesome.
Which is just ridiculous because I absolutely love that game and I have not put enough time into it on the 360. That is totally like the 10 minutes because yeah. I'll die like 4 times in 10 minutes. It'll be perfect.
It is perfect. More indie shit. Humble Bundle with Android number 6.
Yes, came out. New one came out.
So excited because Stealth Bastard is included with this. Something I picked up on Steam a while ago. So it's definitely another 2D game. Kind of super Meat Boy as far as the platforming and difficulty is concerned. But rather than just run and gun and jump, this is it's stealth based. Got a cool character design, really good soundtrack as well. Go check out a trailer. But yeah, that's included in the Humble Bundle. That's coming to Vita as well, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I love the indie Sony push.
Yeah, isn't me it? Too.
I know I'm positive that they're doing a lot of this out of opportunity because they can. The same way that they took advantage of the...
It's not like, Xbox was like, fuck indies. And then PlayStation was like, oh, we should fucking totally... bring on all these indies. This shit has been in the works for a while.
Oh, I'm sure
from the Microsoft shenanigans, but
I'm not saying that their policies are out of opportunity, but the way that they're talking it up is out of opportunity.
True. Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm absolutely in love with that concept. Like just the whole, hey, guess what? We're self-publishing. And I'm so happy to see that because some of the neatest and most unique experiences I've had over the past couple of years have been those little like gems like that. I don't talk about them a ton on our show, but I mean, like Binding of Isaac carved out a big point, like FTL, stuff like that. It's like, God, yeah, totally. Give me that. Like, I'll be honest, I'm not so far into the indie scene that I play every indie game under the sun, but
give me
those like big, like highlighted ones, mm-hmm. things like FTL, indie developed, but brilliant, absolute design.
Yeah. A lot of indie titles, and that's kind of the draw is that, they take risks, all these AAA, EA Activision games, they're very by the numbers and the same iteration every year. Indie titles, will take those risks, but I tend to only follow the ones that float to the top, there's hundreds of different indie titles out there, but when they do actually float to the top, man, they're so fucking good. And those are the experiences that tend to stick with me, I think, throughout the year.
Absolutely.
So I mean,
100% agree.
That was the thing at E3, Microsoft was the first booth that I visited, and it was jam packed. It was so fucking crowded, just uncomfortable. But there were really only like a handful of fucking like playable games there, And I'm like, okay, this is kind of shitty, dude. I got to fucking Sony, and there were 15 or 20. Playable games there. It was ridiculous. There really is such a focus on both developers and just games in general in that camp.
It's funny too, because I've seen some people complaining about it's like, oh well, great, the shit was out on PC a year ago or whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what? I had no idea that this game was out on PC. Maybe I'm uninformed, but if I'm uninformed, then that means that not to sound pompous, that means that a lot of other people are uninformed.
Mm-hmm.
So if PS3 is or PS4 is going to float this to the top, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like that needs to happen. If for no other reason than paying the indie developers their due, on their awesome title, you know?
And in a lot of cases, they're adding new content, as well. So that's an additional reason to pick it up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It turns into what was the variation they called Cave Story when it came to the Wii? It was
Cave Story Plus
or something. Yeah. Right. That is the perfect example. Yes, you can play it for free elsewhere, but hey, we've got this slightly refined version with extra content. Give us $5.
Upgraded visuals as well. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's totally a no-brainer. Speaking of things that have not changed much, Muramasa on the Vita.
I haven't gotten my copy yet.
So aside from visuals, I mean, it looks absolutely gorgeous, and so I'm really not trying to sell it short. It's still a great game. But I find it strange that they really didn't change anything about this fucking game, about this port. I don't know if it warrants that price tag. It plays.
Having never played the original.
You should definitely get this game.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but is it a bargain bin on the Wii at this point, or is it a spend the extra dollars for the Vita version?
I don't think it's bargain bin on the Wii, because I think it was in kind of short supply. So I don't think you can go out there and get it for like $10 used on eBay or anything like that.
I mean, I've always been interested in it, especially with how hyped on it you guys were, and doubly so talking about the visuals of it. I just imagine that to be, I don't want to say tenfold, but I imagine that to be better on the Vita between the smaller screen and the good resolution. I just imagine that to be really good in that namespace. So when I saw that it was coming there, I was like, okay, this is something I should pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I haven't so far, but.
It very well could be like a resolution issue, for going from 480 down to, the Vita's, smaller screen. But it's widescreen now. It looks great, even when it like zooms in and everything. So it's weird. That's all that it has going for it. It's like, okay, we got new visuals.
No extra content or anything?
From what I can tell, no, nothing. And I actually talked to the guy that reviewed it at work, and he's like, nope, absolutely nothing new. So
that kind of surprises me, especially considering that they went so far as to like rename it.
Rebirth.
It's not just it's not just a port. It's like, hey, let's throw the subtitle on it.
Well, there is added content to it,
which is
they said they added a bunch of characters and stuff, like playable characters.
No, not yet. DLC is forthcoming, maybe.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So the rebirth is through microtransactions.
Possibly. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any DLC right now, but yeah, they did talk about like additional characters, but they're not available right now, and they have not said when. And they've only given a tentative, like, yeah, in the future. So, I mean, we'll see. So it might be the definitive version, you know, once they release these new characters. But for the most part, you know, I mean, you know, all the characters kind of play the same anyway. So until later on,
that's true.
New shit. But anyway, so there's that. Looks beautiful. So go for it. What the fuck else have I been playing? I think that's it. So, oh, I brought home Project Cross Zone, and I haven't played it yet. Yay!
Did you play the demo at all?
No.
That seems like a from a tactical RPG standpoint, that seems kind of on the light side of things. But it play a lot of fan service and homage to the licenses that are involved.
That's what I keep saying, and yeah, and a lot of licenses that I'm like near and dear to, so
right. Knowing what I know of you and your tastes, I would imagine that you would devour that.
Fuck yeah.
It's on my to buy list, but it's not on my to buy list right now. I'm still catching up on I never had a DS. I just got a 3DS, so I'm still catching up on my 2 years ago, hey, I really want this title kind of list. So,
I did think it'll
definitely be a purchase.
But the other game I played last night extensively, the D&D Shadows Over Mystara.
Oh, that's right. I saw you playing that. That's the old like not reboot, but port of the old like side scroller brawler D&D games.
You got it. So yeah, that was originally released on the Saturn. Well, not originally. No, originally arcade. Then the only home port was on the Saturn in Japan.
Right.
So this is our first like, oh, I can finally fucking play it at home, and I don't feel dirty because I'm emulating it. but no, the D&D, the second game in particular, is my favorite brawler of all time. And I say that not just because I like D&D and, you know, the fantasy element, but, you know, it's a very solid combat engine. But it's also really deep, and it's deeper than, you know, a lot of people give it credit for. In particular, there's a lot of, you know, secret rooms. You know, so many games have branching paths and shit like that. It's like you get a third of the way through the game. It's like, I can go up or I can go down, you know, and that's my gameplay. But it's so much deeper in this game because, you know, there are certain magical, like, secret items that you can get depending on the path that you choose. For example, there's a couple swords that you can get in the game. One of them it's a cursed sword, right? And it's just found in, like, a random chest or whatever. And the only way to get it uncursed is to have the cleric, you know, one of the classes, pick it up and drop it, like, 8 times. And then it turns into a super awesome sword. You've never seen anything like that in brawlers of that type. You know, you don't see that in Streets of Rage. You don't see that in fucking Final Fight. So yeah, I mean, I played the fuck out of it in the arcades. I played the fuck out of it on MAME, and now I've got it at home with online multiplayer, and it looks and plays great. So I played that with John last night. We played through the entire game. It was fucking awesome. That was our jam, man. Like, John and I, we played a lot of online games, and we always die because we're terrible at games together. But this game,
aren't we all?
We're pretty awesome.
So the online works well? There's no weird hiccups or nothing like that?
Not that I could tell. Yeah, drop in, drop out.
I might have to fucking buy that.
$15. It's a little high, but lots of replay in that one. I absolutely fucking love that game. I will play it any day, anytime. Bring it. So good.
Cool.
There are Street Fighter-esque moves. I can talk ad nauseum, but I won't. But Scott, I think you'd like it.
I know I played at least one D&D game in the arcade. I didn't necessarily have the affinity for it earlier in life, but I'm positive that I did the whole... How would I oversimplify it? Streets of Rage plus leveling.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Like, I know I have totally experienced that, and I want to say it was a D&D game. So
very well could be. I mean, I'm still finding out new secrets about this game, you know, more than a decade later of me playing it.
I feel like there's a general lack of mastery that comes to a lot of newer games. Like they're like going back and re-experiencing like the earlier Mega Mans and stuff, like remembering that, hey, I have to jump at this exact point or I will get hit by that nonsensical shit that seems totally random, but mm-hmm. it's completely not. Like, I feel like I feel like current games don't do that very well.
They hold your hand an awful lot. Yeah. Games back then, you know, a lot of it was like memorization, repetition, and stuff like that. So it's not necessarily like you were, I don't know, like you had mad skills in your reactions or anything like that. It's just like you knew that was coming.
Knowledge and retention thing.
Yeah, right? Sure. And today they completely hold your hands like, oh, the bridge is rumbling. I wonder if it's going to. Oh, yeah, I got to hit triangle many, 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 many times to climb up the bridge that just collapsed. Yeah.
I do feel like some games still hit on it, though. Like, I mean, Last of Us to some degree with the memorization of patterns. But like, I feel like Hitman is kind of like the perfect example of that in modern day.
I would say Dark Souls, Demon Souls.
I don't want to say that because that's my go-to and everybody knows me for that now.
I put it out there. I tried to
come up with other examples.
That definitely gives me that old school memorization pattern stuff. And you feel like a badass when,
right.
You know,
when you're not really a badass, you're not really doing anything all that spectacular. It's just because you've done it enough to know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Truth.
I enjoy that aspect of earlier gaming.
All right, for reals, I'm done, I think.
Chris? Cool.
Yeah, I really don't have much to add because the only other thing I played besides Last of Us was Star Trek Online. So
nerd! Dude, yeah, you didn't want to play D&D.
Oh, nerd! You didn't want to play D&D. Did you really just say that sentence?
I mean, this is badass D&D. We're not like wearing capes. There's nobody sitting behind a fucking Dungeon Master screen. There's no dice rolls. There's just badass fucking combos and juggles and shit.
That's okay. I understand. It's we're all just different types of nerds. It's okay.
You got phasers. I got fucking dragon swords. It's all right. It's all good.
And it's all the fucking same.
To be flat out honest, though, not to interject here. I mean, you seem to have a love for Star Trek on the show that is not necessarily reciprocated by your co-host.
Oh, hell no.
I cannot reciprocate that love either. But damn, dude, some of those screenshots you post are fucking gorgeous.
Dude, from the game is space. Awesome. You don't have to like Star Trek to like this game. You really don't.
Right?
I mean, it's a fantastic game. It's a lot of fun.
What do you do in game? I mean, do you like, you know, like fly around in your ship and like adhere to the Prime Directive and stuff?
Yes, that's exactly what you do. No, it's a war.
I feel for you, man.
It's a war. There's a war going on, and you're being, you know, you have different missions that you have to go on that help with the war, and there's a lot of fan service for those that are fans of Star Trek.
Other trips,
you know, but there's both. It's very much it reminds me a lot of Knights of the Old Republic, except there's more ship combat, and the ship combat is far better. The ship combat is the reason I play this game, and it is fantastic and fun. And
I don't know. I played the ship combat in that Star Wars MMO.
That was shit.
What?
Don't even start.
That was like that was Star shit. Fox kind of.
I know, it's totally on rails and shooting, point and shoot.
I'm kidding. Anything is better than that fucking combat.
I know you are. That was pretty ridiculous. The only reason to do that was because it gave you a shit ton of experience points.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean the ship combat in Star Trek is fucking fantastic, and you know, it's very satisfying. And every time you go up a rank, every time you get promoted a rank, you get a new ship. So like yesterday, I got promoted to a new rank, and I got a brand new ship, and you can customize your ship and like mix and match parts. It's really cool.
So how does the ship combat work? Because when I watch an episode, they're like, they hail one another. It's like, greetings, I'm the captain. So
are you, going to continue trolling? Or
no,
do you
I'm not trolling. Like, no. Seriously, okay. I'm kind of curious about the ship combat.
Even
it's
if
like,
he is,
oh my God,
even
Sulu,
if he is
they targeted
trolling,
our fucking
I want to know.
But so somewhere.
Okay. So here's how it kind of works. So you set up your bridge officers. So you get like a party of AI people. And they give you special attacks as well. So you not only get special attacks from your character, but you get special attacks from your bridge officers that you can use. So, but when you enter a combat zone, a combat area, one of your officers will pop up and say, hey, you know, there's Klingons that are coming or whatever. It's like whoever it is. And then you're in battle mode and you can, you know, you're flying your ship as normal until you engage in combat. And when you engage in combat, then you have full range of motion of your ship. You have
That's
complete
like
control over your ship. What?
It's like Muramasa. So when you're walking around, you can't actually attack anything. But when you encounter someone, then your swords come out and you can do all your combos and stuff.
Okay.
I'm serious.
Yeah, it's also like pretty much every other MMO that's out there. So, yeah.
Yeah, that too.
That too. Okay.
Oh, Jason. But, I honestly want to know.
No, I am curious and I'm interjecting with some like pseudo funny stuff, but I'm absorbing this and I'm actually curious. Please proceed.
I want to hear Chris.
So you have complete control over your ship, like how fast you're going, where it's turning. You have all the ships have shields. And the shields are divided into like four parts, like front, rear, and then left and right. And you can, you strategically have to maneuver your ship so that your shields are facing the enemy, so that you're not getting, you know, damage to your hull. Because once your hull is like your life. Your hull is your hit points. When it reaches 0%, you die. That's really all there is to it.
I assume when it comes to like facing, there's probably some sort of offensive implication of it as well. Like you have some sort of turret.
Yeah,
that can,
I mean, and that's like the other part of it. It's like you have weapon bays, and you have fore and aft weapon bays, and which ship you're flying depends on. You know, that's what determines how many weapon bays you have. The current ship that I just got has three weapons in the front, two weapons in the back. And each weapon has a firing radius. So like if you fire a torpedo. It has to be within like 90 degrees of the front of your ship. And sure. Then you have the option to, but an actual phaser has 250 degrees. So it's almost the entire ship radius.
Right.
But, and like I've actually got like, turrets on the back, and the turrets are 360 degrees. So my turrets that are in the aft can fire forward. I'm flying towards someone, I'm firing with five weapons at once.
Okay. So now, what really piques my interest at this point in time is, now do you get the ability to configure all of these things, or are they just kind of standard for a particular ship?
No, you get to configure all of this. So when you get weapons, you fill a weapon bay with one of your weapons and you can mix and match whatever you want to do. So it's like my current ship is like when I first got my ship, like it comes stocked with like default stuff. There's like two torpedo bays in the front, and there's a phaser bay in the front, and in the back there's a phaser and a torpedo or something like that. And I removed all that shit, and I have like this, like these dual phase cannons in the front, a torpedo in the front, and a phaser in the front, and then I have two turrets in the back. So I literally can, if I'm heading straight at someone, I can fire all five of my weapons at this one guy all at the same time. And every single weapon has a recharge, and some are like the cannons are super fast. The cannons will fire, and then they have a 1 second recharge, and they fire again. So,
so like standard MMO sort of cooldown timer.
Yeah, there's cooldown times for everything, but all your movement, like all your ship movement and all that stuff, that's all real time.
So. Okay, I gotta say, I know fuck all when it comes to Star Trek, but I'm kind of a little wet right now.
It's, dude, I promise
from a spaceship porn
kind of
perspective.
Do not need to know a lot about Star Trek to enjoy this game. If you do like Star Trek, there's a lot of fan service
bonus. Right?
And I told Crystal about some of the fan service, and she wants to play it because she's a huge Star Wars nerd.
Yeah.
Like big
right,
time.
Right. Yeah.
Star Trek nerd.
Yes. Star Trek nerd. Yeah. Sorry. But
that too.
That too.
But yeah, in reality, I mean, I play this game for the ship combat, and the ship combat is fun as hell, and it's extremely satisfying. So, you know, it's worth checking out. It's fucking free to play. Just go download it, play it for like two, three hours, and if you don't like it, then get rid of it. But
yeah. All right, you know. Send me server information when we're done where you're at.
Yeah, there's really no server information. You know, you just you log in and you
they're not popular enough. They only have one.
No. It's, you can switch wherever you want. You can switch servers whenever you want.
Okay, that's cool.
They do it in instances, and all the server farm is like one big server farm, and everything is instanced. So it's like, you know, when I was meeting up with some people yesterday, they were all on one instance and I was on another, and you just switch instances and you're good to go. So, but yeah, there's a lot of people playing this game. I mean, at any one given time, if you go to the main, like, so you can be Federation, Klingon, or Romulan. Those are the three factions that you can be a part of. And like the Federation, the main Federation starbase, if you go there, there's always like at least 50 to 100, there's always like 50 ships right there at the starbase. And then there's like five other instances that all have like anywhere between 30 and 50 ships too. So there's a lot of people playing this game. So
sweet.
Yeah. It's fun, dude.
All right.
Worth it.
I will check it out. I like my Chinese spaceship porn.
There is a
I
lot
know that sounds of sarcastic, but I don't mean it that way.
I promise you, man, there are so many times when I'll be just, you know,
dude, those screenshots are fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You're only seeing screenshots of my ship. My ship is tiny and pathetic compared to some of the shit that's out there right now.
You posted that series on Google+, and I was just laughing reading.
Oh, the
because I'm like, dude, I can totally fucking hear Chris saying that shit. Oh, look, you fucking did this. Well, I'm gonna do this. Oh my god, I'm
talking about the one. Did you just fire a laser at me? Oh shit, did you just fire a laser at me? That'll learn you. And he's like explosion in the background. Like, yeah. Fly. That shit's awesome, dude. It's fun as hell.
Totally. Like every caption, I'm like, I can totally hear Chris saying that. priceless.
Oh, good stuff. All right, cool. What do you guys say we blitz through some of this mini news stories?
But I'm having so much fun.
Yeah, this show is the best. With like an hour and a half of just distractions. Love it.
Well, there's really nothing major in news, so we can just, you know.
Hey, Google's got a thing.
Google has a thing. That's right. They're making a Ouya competitor, apparently, or something like that. I don't know. You know more about it than I do, so why don't you talk about it?
I fucking linked the article to you, and I don't know shit.
I don't know where
that
link
came out today. It just came out today. Google has basically said that because of the positive response of consoles like the Ouya and what's the other one? The Game Stick? Game Stick?
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that, the general adoption rate of that, they are going to be basically putting out their own console. I mean, not a lot of details there. It was just a little blurb in the Wall Street Journal, but yeah.
Interesting concept. They're gonna
do something along the Android lines for games. And you know what? The more and more of these Android consoles that come out, being an iOS user, it's not necessarily a love of Apple. It's a love of the fact that seems to be where board games are nowadays.
Yeah. We're going to be seeing a lot more of this stuff come out on Android platforms.
And the truth is, as an iOS user, seeing an Android console or something like the Ouya succeed is fucking brilliant, because that means that I can hold on to my iOS when it comes to the board games, the you know, that side of things, and yet still get the opposite side of things, you know, from the Android marketplace kind of.
The Ouya actually hit retail stores this week, and it sold out at GameStop and Amazon, apparently.
That's crazy, yeah, considering like all the fucking bad press that Ouya gets. Everybody's just like, oh, this shit's stupid. It's not changing gaming, but you know what?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, I don't think people really want it to change gaming. I think they just want it as an extension to what they've got.
Yeah, sure.
Right, you know? Right. It's an alternative, right? Yeah. I mean, it's not necessarily designed to be out there to replace the, you know, your 360 or, heaven forbid, you know, the next generation consoles.
Right.
It's just to be, hey, great. You can buy this thing for $100 and then, Lord, there's so many open source developers, you know, that are doing, you know, free to play kind of models and things like that. You can fill that thing up in no time whatsoever, you know, and all you bought was the console.
Yeah.
You know, and
if you're smart enough to download some of that stuff, that's the thing, is that it's kind of a challenge to like hook up the Ouya, which is easy, but then like get open source stuff on there.
Right.
That's right. That's a little different, but anyway.
Right, but I mean, the whole point is that's supposed to be all of like 90-95% of your costs is the purchase of the console, not necessarily all the software you're going to put. Because I mean, even look at all their paid catalog. It would take a lot to spend $100 on that.
Yeah, that's so actually kind of so true.
For
$100, you'd have anywhere between 15 and 20 games at that point.
Oh, my God. And you're talking about really like, I mean, hell, probably 15 of that went to Square Enix for one of their Final Fantasy.
Right, for Final Fantasy, pretty much.
Whatever.
Right, A lot of the Ouya games will clock in at like $4 or $5. So there's not like a ton of the 99-cent stuff that you're used to on a phone. But, you know, even at that, you know, it's really not that bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I was super skeptical of that, and I still am. You know, full disclosure, I'm still skeptical of the Ouya, but quite honestly, 6 months from now, I think I might be more liable to order an Ouya than I will an Xbox One.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing about it is that it's apparent, you know, once they actually, now that it's in more people's hands, there's going to be a lot more development for it from an app perspective. And you'll see like there are people out there that have already done UI replacements for it,
right,
so that you actually get like a different UI altogether. And, well, you know, they're allowing that to happen. It's like, I don't care, you know, do what you want. So
by buying an Ouya, you are buying the equivalent of a dev console for what we're used to when it comes to dev consoles.
Yeah.
Right. Like you are getting this open source platform that you can mess around and tinker with. Hell, it is the Raspberry Pi of consoles.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
More powerful than a Raspberry Pi.
Yeah. The Raspberry Pi is not very powerful, but yeah, that's right. True.
I'm not talking power like consumption. Yeah. I'm just talking about that. That is the purpose of this thing, right? Let's play and tinker with it and see what we can do and see what we can harness out of it. And that's pretty cool. That's really cool to see like the mind share of people like chipping in to like, hey, let's do something cool out of this.
Yo, so, Xbox Media Center. If you guys are familiar with that. Yeah. Fucking get that for the Ouya.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Right.
And they've got apparently they are testing they're up to testing PlayStation emulators, like PlayStation 1 emulators.
What? I can barely get fucking Super Nintendo emulators running at like full speed without frame skips. But
I saw one running Tekken on for PlayStation.
All right, we'll see.
I don't know. We will see. That's
probably
right.
I don't know that much about the Ouya, but that probably has a lot to do with graphics processor, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because whether it's tailored towards 3D or 2D,
yeah,
that might make one perform better than the other.
Very true. What else we got in news, Chris?
Well, a few things about Sony. They have they apparently sacrificed the camera to keep their price, the inclusion of the camera to keep their price $100 less.
Yeah, like which initial.
I think is a great move. I don't know why this is such a thing. It's like I don't care about the camera.
This is a headline.
Yeah, this is a headline.
Oh, okay.
Because it caused them to, you know, undercut the Xbox One by so much.
Yeah. $100.
So the subtext of the story is that it's no longer going to be a required peripheral, which is going to kind of fragment their game base. You know, like it's not going to have that huge install base. You know, so not every game can like utilize it. It's going to be an optional accessory now.
Right.
It's so funny because if you look at the Kinect for the Xbox One, it is its biggest advantage is its biggest disadvantage. Right.
Yeah,
is that
it's the fact always that it's connected. Included? Yeah, the fact that it's included and it's always there is
absolutely. Know. So yeah. Hey, we can totally like leverage this and use it. We can count on it when it comes to OS level sort of stuff. Hey, I want to switch TV channels or whatever.
That's like saying, oh, but, you know, I can count on, you know, this controller being able to rumble at any point. I mean, it's not really a system seller to me.
Right. But it's also its biggest disadvantage in so far as the fact that, hey, do you necessarily always want that? So,
nope.
I mean, you're going to fall on one fence or the other.
Nope. Nobody fucking wants that. And they really don't have anything to really show off game wise. It's like, you know, this is, it's not even Kinect 2.0. as far as games are concerned. It's just, it's still Kinect. You know, they don't have anything game-wise that's willing to show off the new features of the new Kinect.
And that's and I think that's one of the main reasons that, that Sony decided not to include it. One, well, besides the price thing.
Right.
It's like, what's their advantage for including it? You know, there's not really one because there's not really, there were no games at E3 for it, apparently.
Yep.
So it's like, why even bother at that point?
Yeah. They can get rid of it. I mean, I don't need it, and I can't see, I don't know, many games really utilizing it properly. But
can I play devil's advocate for a minute?
Absolutely.
I don't think E3 is the point in time to show Kinect games. I think that's the secondary market because I think I truly believe that the people that they're trying to sell to on day one are not the people that give a shit about Kinect.
But no, yet, that is very true.
So, but yeah, so that's their big like feature over the PlayStation. And I mean, if you check out any interviews from E3, you know, that are like comparisons, like, you know, why should we pick up, you know, Xbox One over, you know, the PS4? Is, and they're like, you know, well, we have the sensor. We have this, and it can do this and this and this, but yet they didn't fucking show that off at all. They have nothing to fucking show. I don't know. All right.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you,
but
being from an outside perspective, being somebody who didn't go to E3,
yep.
A lot of the news stories and stuff that were pouring out, the focus wasn't on the Kinect at all. It was a lot on the sorts of, you know, experiences that they were providing, namely the big ones being, you know, the new Halo and Titanfall.
Well, yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that they've completely like overlooked Kinect, and Kinect has been, you know, totally like revamped and seems like from a hardware perspective is a much more functional piece of hardware and probably what they wanted Kinect to be when it first launched. But the thing is that I think that they're holding in the wings what that will mean for the general consumer, because really they're going to sell all of their consoles day one to gamers. They're not going to sell it to the people that are the Kinect crowd. So I feel like it's going to be the 6 month or the 9 month mark after this console has been hit that you'll see the influx of the holy shit, look at what Kinect can do, because at that point in time, that's going to be when they're trying to sell to the people that give a shit about that. Because you're the choir and I'm preaching, right? Where nobody gives a shit on this cast about Kinect.
Right.
You know, so that applies to somebody else, but I feel like they're riding the gamer buy-in right now, and they'll move to the Kinect buy-in later on.
Like, see, I don't think... See, E3 is the worldwide showcase, and that's why I think they should, you know, focus on the widespread appeal. Like, as you said, they try to show off games to hardcore gamers, but E3 is that big spectacle, that big showcase that that everybody's covering. The casual gamers are covering.
I agree that it's a big showcase, but I think we're fooling ourselves to think that 75% of the viewers and people that care about that are not gamers. Like, the casual person, no. I'm sorry. I don't agree. I don't think that they tune into that.
No, they
don't. They care.
No. They don't tune in specifically to E3, but outlets that don't normally cover gaming, they go to E3 and they cover gaming, and they will have a stupid little news blurb, you know, on their show about why, you know, the Wii is so fucking fun, or, you know, why the 360 has, you know, this or that.
I'm not disagreeing with that statement,
yeah.
But I will say that this E3, none of those news outlets were reporting anything other than the fucking used game flub.
They had nothing to report.
Okay, so whatever they showed, it didn't matter if they showed 100% Kinect or 5% Kinect, you weren't hearing about any of that.
Yeah, they had nothing else to talk about. That was definitely the focus, and that was Microsoft's fault.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just saying at this point it doesn't really matter.
True.
Like I think they'll hit those markets up later on when it makes sense for the, hey, we've sold to the people that had the immediate buy-in. I think we'll, I think you'll see in 6 to 9 months, I think you'll see people, I think you'll see Microsoft start selling to the everybody else.
I think we're going to see just as much people not giving a fuck about Kinect.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Totally possible.
Yeah.
Not arguing that point at all. But hey, like, you know, go back and look at it. It's unfortunate for Microsoft from their standpoint that they went through all this nonsense. But we as consumers should absolutely love the fact that they 180'd on their policy. Sure. And I'm not saying this because necessarily I flat out full on honesty here. I'm totally buying a PS4 until Xbox One offers me something that I need to have. I'm not buying one. But to have them closer as a 1-to-1 ratio is going to improve competition, which means that you will get better results out of both of them. So the best thing from a consumer is to not have a throwaway console that, oh my God, they're totally absconding my, you know, used game rights.
Yeah, whatever. You won't get any argument on this side of the table from that. True. For that.
Yeah, we've kind of beaten this one to death, I think.
But. Yeah.
I apologize then for reiterating, but you want these two consoles to be head in head. You want them to. You don't want one blowing out the other.
At the same time, you know, I kind of don't, you know, because I don't have like all the money in the world, and I would love to just like pack one system and have the experience, you know, of both, you know, on just one. But
I will totally play devil's advocate to that because that's what I do.
Yeah.
No, you totally want that. You want
competition. Yeah, absolutely.
You want to be able to afford both. But if you can't, it's going to make the one that you want that much better.
Right.
Cool.
Competition is good. That was like some completely unrelated story that sent us off on that tangent. And I apologize. I babble and I got rum in me. I started the show.
Last I remember, we were talking about Injustice.
Yeah, for all I know is that we're only on news and we're an hour and 50 minutes into this show.
Give or take.
Can we move on?
Sure.
You told me before we started recording that you wanted me to, like,
pad it.
Drag.
Yeah.
So
that's exactly. This is our fault.
This is our one part show.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. There's a few, like, smaller things. Sony rolls out an indie game category for the PS Vita. So we were talking about the how they've been catering to indies a little bit more. And there's apparently 50 games out there already. So I might have to go and look at some of the shit that's on there because I haven't
Mercenary
seen all this
Kings.
Stuff.
Dude, fucking go check that out.
Mercenary Kings?
Yeah, all Mercenary right. Kings. You're going to love that because Metal Slug and fucking Borderlands.
Nice.
Yeah.
No shit. Really?
Yeah. Is that out there?
I have to write that down. Mercenary Kings?
Mercenary Kings. Yeah. Just go YouTube that shit. You will fall in love with it.
Okay.
You ready?
We might have to skip.
And then they say that there's apparently games. Some of the games that are coming are Counter Spy, Flower, Hokum, Spelunky, and Terraria.
Kind of cool.
Yeah. Spelunky.
I haven't played Terraria, but I've heard good things, and I've heard good things about Spelunky too. Yeah. So let's go to the before I steer away from the Vita, People, just so you know, PS Plus, Virtue's Last Reward just went free for PS Plus. If you have a Vita, you need to go get it.
Highly regarded, yes.
Like right now. So.
Holy shit, this month is like crazy for PS Plus.
Yeah, there's been a lot of good stuff.
Between like Saints Row 3.
Deus Ex.
Deus Ex.
Virtue's Last Reward.
Oh my god, there's more. Lots I'm completely stuff. Forgetting
Little
it.
Big Planet go-karting?
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
Dude, I played that for like 2 hours the other night. That's so
Did cool. you really?
Yeah, I love that game. I mean, granted,
more
they
fun than their previous attempt at a karting game.
Mod Nation Racers,
yeah,
which I loved actually. Just
yeah, it was a really good game outside of the loading.
Yeah, I love kart racers, so whatever.
Did I?
Yeah,
say
we still need to get on that.
Three.
You did say Saints Row 3.
Well, it's worth mentioning again.
Seriously.
Oh, by the way, Saints Row 3 is free for PS. Just so you guys know. So is Deus Ex, because that was worth mentioning too. And then on the other side of the coin, apparently Apparently Microsoft has stopped charging developers for 360 patches.
Thank God.
So that's a big thing.
Holy shit. Way to do that, like, in the last 6 months of the
I know. It's like, you know, that was the big thing with, like, Phil Fish and what was it, Fez, that he was having trouble with?
Dude, he totally came out and said that he was never putting a game on a Microsoft platform.
Yeah, again. Fez 2. He said he already has Fez 2 lined up for PS4.
Whether or not he actually means it.
Right.
I don't know. That's a whole...
He is flaky.
Yeah. But to be that outward spoken about it says at least something, right?
He broke a window in somebody's hotel room this year at
E3.
What? Never mind. Proceed.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
The other big news that's coming out for Microsoft right now is the fact that the X-Bone will not include a headset, and not only that, but the old 360 headsets will not work with it without some sort of adapter, apparently. And I don't know about you guys. I just think this is really strange. I mean, why is it? Why not just make it the same port? Or if not, then include it. I mean, it can't be more than like
everything's rocking through that Kinect piece. Everything.
Right.
Voice data, everything.
Voice, right. I understand. But I mean, didn't they learn from the Wii Speak that shit doesn't work?
But this can fucking, you know, sense the blood pressure in your body.
How well does that work for voice chat coming through your surround sound?
Of course
speakers.
It can differentiate, you know, your subtle sarcasm and your, you know, blasting fucking air conditioner. Of course it can. It's that smart.
Leave it to console manufacturers to redefine what universal means in universal serial bus. Right? Universal, except for in this case.
Yeah, this is fucking, it's bullshit.
It's retarded. I mean, there's no reason that they couldn't have put in, because one of the things that they're saying is that because of the increased throughput to the controller, that they needed a port that would work better for it.
Sure.
It's like, yeah, but you can still just use that 2.5 millimeter port. You can still have that too for the old headsets. It's not like it's that big of a deal.
And just transmit the different bit rate. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. It's all just a bunch of BS. But
I would love to be on a fly in the wall when it comes to conversations about this sort of thing, because we look at it from a consumer standpoint and we go, this is absolutely outrageous. But I honestly want to know, like, it was in the middle of E3 or so when they released the whole thing that Mad Catz was not or at least Mad Catz sticks were not forward compatible with the new consoles, and it's the same sort of thing. But I look at that and I wonder, like, how much is that Mad Catz pushing pressure on them to not necessarily give them money in order to allow it, but like, hey, almost disallow it at this point so we can sell more sticks. Like, it's complete conjecture, but my cynicism makes me look at that and go, that's kind of like, I feel like there's no reason. I mean, I make the joke about the USB, but I feel like there's absolutely no reason why something like that shouldn't be forward compatible.
I agree.
But my reputation, there was an extreme push, but it's not up to them. Microsoft has like super weird fucking restrictions on their hardware. So,
right. And I mean, you and I, Jason, saw that through like stick modding and things like that. It's like, that was always the board that you had to work around, you know, to make it work.
True. And I mean, and even if it was easy to work around, you know, to make it legal, that was another thing. So they have to work in those confines as well.
Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing just
reaches
to me as like, yeah, okay, we're going to use this opportunity to make people rebuy the thing that they already had.
Right.
That was not the intention.
I can't see that being the intention from Mad Catz's point of
right.
view.
Right.
No, I'm not necessarily, when I said we, I didn't necessarily mean them. I just mean, like, in general, I feel like there is a, we could make this work, but we're not going to.
Here's the actual quote The wireless controller has been redesigned to allow for higher data transfer speed between the controller and the console. This also required creating a new expansion port design for headsets and future controller add-on devices, which is different from a standard audio plug input. It's like, so why couldn't you have the standard audio plug input as well? There's no reason you couldn't have done that. And, you know, I mean, at least they're doing an adapter, but the adapter's probably going to be like $20 or something like that. It's like ridiculous, but whatever. We'll see. Hopefully it's like, if the adapter's like $10, I'll be like, all right, cool. But
this isn't an apology, but it's not the first time that they've hit us up for things like this.
No, I agree. Yeah. I mean, they still don't have rechargeable batteries inside the controllers. It's like, how is that not a thing?
Right.
So, whatever.
Back to the Mad Cats thing for 1 second. I am using this as a fantastic excuse to mod sticks again. Yeah. I haven't done that in a while. Yes. I'm honestly looking forward to that. Yes, it's stupid that I need to spend that money, but hey, cool, fun wiring.
It's sad that that's going to be like an additional expenditure if I buy like an Xbox One, because the only reason why, like right now, I'd buy an Xbox is for Killer Instinct. And I'm not going to play that on a fucking pad. I need a new stick for that. But here's the thing.
Yeah, so now you're talking about $600 plus for one game.
Yeah, no shit. And I cannot justify that. Even with Street Fighter, it took me a while to reach that price point. But here's the thing. At fucking E3, dude, they had fucking regular Mad Cat sticks plugged directly into 360, or not 360, but Xbox One dev kits. And they worked fine.
Yeah, you can play a cloak and dagger with that, though. You can make it look like it's plugged into an Xbox One, but have it feeding into a PC, and that's still...
Well, no, it was a dev kit.
No, it was a dev kit. It was a dev kit. There was looking under the hood.
I realize that I'm awfully skeptical, but I'm still going to be skeptical of that.
When I actually... So I talked to Filthy Rich. He's working at Double Helix now, formerly of Bandai Namco, working on the tech and stuff. But yeah, he's with Killer Instinct now, and I'm like, so, I mean, seriously, I just talked to Mad Cats, and they're like, the 360, you know, sticks are not going to, you know, work on the new Xbox One. And he's like, psst, you see that shit? That's working, right? I'm like, yeah, it's working.
I think it's one of those not officially supported.
Yeah, it's not officially.
It's probably going to be that. It's probably going to be that.
So, I mean, yeah, fingers
Microsoft
crossed.
Microsoft hasn't turned up their blocking yet.
That could be the case. And yeah, maybe the dev kits,
we're
going to
uninstall the Mad Cats driver.
But, I mean, it's still safe to say that they can work. So,
well, they can. Will they?
I know. So if it comes down to them not working, fuck Microsoft. Not fuck Mad Cats, not fuck Hori.
Well, I mean, I heard that Sony's not letting it happen either.
That's an official, like, no comment, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, so we don't even know at that point.
Yep.
Okay. Cool. Well, that is all of the news, so...
Are we at 3 hours yet?
We are at almost 2 hours.
Oh, God.
So, what do you say we get through the rest of this?
Okay.
So, new releases... Literally the only thing I have is Scourge Outbreak, which is an Xbox Live Arcade game. And that's it. So there you have it.
Pick of the week.
Pick of the week. That's right.
Done.
I everything else on the release list is like one of those, you know, quarter two, 2013. And, you know, we're at the end. So June, 2013, quarter two, 13. Yeah. So none of that shit's coming out. But, yeah. So that's it for new releases. Now I do have. Hold on. Let me get my headphones in so I can hear it, because I have a voicemail.
Uh-oh.
I need another break.
No, we're almost done. You're not getting another break.
Oh, God, I got to pee.
Well, then that means we're going to get through this faster.
All right.
I feel you.
So
just...
here is this.
I'm going to listen
in the
bathroom.
We are here. We are here indeed. We are well.
Here we are.
Yes, we are.
We are here.
This is 3 minutes of Eddie Kusanagi saying, we are here.
Just, yeah, we are here. Show some love, you know what I'm saying? A few
wait,
questions.
Wait, are we here?
Being ran to show some love, man, just keep things flowing, you know what I'm saying? So here we go with it. All right. When Bioshock Infinite first came out, everyone was like, oh my God, game of the year, and everybody's, you know, shooting their lows and shit. And now Last of Us came out, and you know, their loads that went out on Infinite went over Infinite and went on to The Last of Us. So what I'm saying is, you know, would you say, without spoiling anything, of course, that is The Last of Us, I'm not going to ask if it's better than Infinite because you can't compare the two. They're two totally different. But I will ask, would you, did it get that, oh my God, this is my game of the year now kind of feeling that Infinite gave you? That's my question. Moving on, Ellie or Elizabeth? Ellie from The Last of Us or Elizabeth, who did you care for more? Who would, you know, I can't say without spoiling anything, but I mean, who did you care for the most? Who was better as a character, etc.? Ellie or Elizabeth from Infinite? That voice actor that did Booker DeWitt in Infinite and Joel, he's making quite a few appearances. The new Nolan North? That's my question. The new Nolan North. He's in, there's another game he's in. He's doing Ocelot in Metal Gear Solid 5, Phantom Pain. Ooh, so he is making appearances in AAA titles. Just throwing that out there. All right, now let's get a little random now. Favorite candy bar?
Okay, let's... He's got about a minute left, so let's get through this stuff first. So, okay. BioShock Game of the Year, or is you know, has Last of Us toppled it? It's still BioShock for me right now.
Yeah, but you've hardly really
right, and that's the thing. It's like I can't really comment as much on Last of Us because I am just not in the right mode to play that game yet. So
no, totally understandable. If I had to answer easily, Last of Us.
Really?
That might have something to do with the fact that I haven't played a single second of BioShock.
Oh, Infinite. Well, you know. You should, dude. It's really, good. It's fantastic.
I know. I know people's love of BioShock. I totally get it. Like, I can understand why. But that, there's something about that system that has just never resonated with me. So I was hesitant to jump on Infinite.
The other two.
I'm waiting on Bargain Bin because of what I'm hearing about Infinite. That's all it boils down to for me.
Oh my God, Bargain Bin and BioShock Infinite.
You need to
Bargain Bin meaning like 30, 40. I'm not talking like 15, 20.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Like I just not I like, don't want to pay like $60 for
$5 in coupons.
That is one game that I was not upset about paying $60 for.
All right. For sure. So BioShock for me was like sweet kinky sex. And I guess Last of Us is like the blowing the load and the like meaningful cuddle afterwards. Like looking into her eyes. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
How it's did
like,
we get to this point?
It's like, you know, BioShock Infinite. It's like, fuck yeah. Oh, fuck. And at the end of it, you're like, oh God, what is going on? What did I just do? But Last of Us, like, it's a soulful connection, right?
Yeah,
please sure. Agree with all me, right. So I don't feel sure. Weird.
For the same reasons that I picked Last of Us over BioShock Infinite, Ellie is way cooler than Elizabeth.
Yeah, I don't really have enough. I don't really have enough information about Ellie quite yet. So,
and you've really probably just scratched the surface of that. Because,
yeah, I really haven't gotten like too far with her.
And half, 2 hours pretty, in before she right. Even shows up.
Right, right. Right. So,
candy
Jason,
bars.
Jason?
What? Candy bars?
Yeah, candy bars. Take five. Yo, fucking A.
Wait, what? Huh?
That's what he's talking about.
Are we answering now? What, candy bars?
Yeah, we are. Favorite candy bar.
Okay.
Take five.
Oh.
I'm not sure where we got to that.
That was his last question.
Was it? Favorite candy bar?
Yeah. I think he phrased it as, this is my one question. It may have been like the fifth time that he phrased it in this voicemail, but yeah, that was his question. Favorite candy bar.
Okay. What is the Reese's?
Sticks?
No.
It's good?
No.
The wafers?
It's the one that has like butter? the I can't remember what it's called.
So is it like a Fifth Avenue? With the crunchy stuff?
Is it
the
no.
Fast Break with the nougat?
That's it, the Fast Break.
Those are good. Those are my favorite. Shit.
This is important.
So does an ice cream bar count as a candy
no,
bar?
No. God, Scott. Scott, no.
No. Wisconsin, we don't know any better.
It's not cheesecake. What the fuck we're talking about?
Oh my God, dude! I had the fucking most awesome cheesecake last night.
Oh, all right, we're gonna finish this voicemail. We're not
that's our question of the week. The cheesecake. Week.
Oh, shit. Wait. My voicemail disappeared. What happened?
I didn't say my candy bar yet.
Oh, well, then say your candy bar.
Deep fried candy bar from the Minnesota State Fair.
No, I think I got to go traditional. Snickers.
Yeah, that's it.
Snickers. All right, that's good. Snickers is good shit, man. I like that.
Yeah.
All right, so I accidentally closed my voicemail, so I have to find the place where he was again. So here we go.
I mean,
just throwing that out there.
Just
okay. Yep.
All right, now let's get a little random now. Favorite candy bar. Candy bar.
We got that.
Simple. Just say a name. Pass it along. Yeah. Moving on. When was the last time, in all seriousness, this is a very serious question. Let's take a moment here and get
all right.
I'm ready. Come on,
Eddie. When's the last time, or even if you ever did in your life, actually bought a newspaper and read it thoroughly, like, and gave it a legitimate read? Now, newspapers nowadays, they're quite bullshit. They are full of advertisement. It's quite embarrassing, you know, the way times have changed. And, I mean, when was the last time you read a newspaper to actually look for news? You know, not as a time killer. Because you did it as a good person. A good person.
You're entitled.
Yes. 20 seconds. 20 seconds, I'll use it as a special shout-out to Metal Gear Solid 5. Yes, right. I am that fanboy. I am that man.
Yes, you are. Keep
saying this game. It'll be in my voice until it comes out. Hideo Kojima, he's awesome. It's a good game, man. It's Metal Gear Solid, I mean. All right, 3 seconds. Love you guys. Until next time. Peace.
Okay, bye.
Okay,
that was
time, I think.
And then it cut him off. Okay.
I read a newspaper at the airport, just killing time. But yeah,
if excluding the comics, I have never read a newspaper.
Never?
Seriously?
Never. Maybe an article here or there, but I've never sat down and read the paper. You know, it's always been a situation of like, hey, you have to read this article. Okay, I'll read it real quick. And that was it. But I have never like picked up a newspaper just to read the newspaper.
I have read the newspaper, at least reading the articles that I'm interested in cover to cover countless times. I've never once bought a newspaper.
You steal other people's paper off their driveway?
Well, like from my parents or something like that.
Oh,
like
you steal the paper from your parents. All right.
Yeah, well, steal it while I'm in their house and leave it in their house. So, yes, totally stealing.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never actually, like, I've never bought one from, like, one of those, like, corner stands, you know, where you put in the coins and
right. Pull
out the whole New York, like, cliche that you see in movies all the time. That doesn't exist anywhere else in the United States.
That's the thing, is like nobody like seeks out the newspaper for like breaking news. They have Twitter, they have their smartphones, they have the internet.
It's such a dead medium. I think that was his point, right? Yeah, such a dead medium now.
Right, and the purpose of a lot of that thing or a lot of those sorts of articles are to reaffirm what you already believe.
Right.
Right.
You'll find some editorial, you'll find some political standpoint that will... You'll read it and go, yeah, I'm totally right. It's true. Hey, all I right, do it cool. too. I'm not lying. We all do it.
That's true. We all
want to be told we're right.
Shall we do, shall we move on? Do some question of the week and get out of here?
Yes.
Sure.
So this long, short show.
This half a show.
This half show.
Two hours.
Good damn thing we didn't have a feature with Scott on the show.
Really could have used a break somewhere in here. Just saying.
We had a break after you were done with distractions.
Yeah, but they don't know they don't that. Know. You've broken the fourth wall, dude. You are fucking ruining things.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm sorry, listeners, that you didn't know that we edit the show.
Dude, again with the fourth wall. Come on.
All right, so question of the week. What should be in the box?
My dick.
Yes. Scott's dick in a box. So there's a lot of talk about what's going to be included with the new systems. What do you guys think should be included with the new systems?
Scott's dick.
In the box.
In the box.
To answer the question of the week,
what should come in the box? Scott Stick.
Oh, please don't. You can send that address is email at interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337.
So close to being elite.
But it's not. So there's also Twitter, which is Indus Podcast, and you can follow us individually as well. We are Indus Chris Goosau. Yes, did I get it right this time?
Yes, G-O-O-S-A-U.
Yeah. And Unistrike.
Unistrike?
I almost said Unistrike.
Una jackass.
Una jackass. I remember
that's old
that
school.
GIF. That is old school.
Nobody knows that.
Yeah, I know. It's like you and me, and that's it. Well, actually, Ricky might be listening and be like, I remember that.
I remember that.
Do you really?
No, you don't.
Mm-hmm. No, you don't. No, you don't. I don't think you knew us when that happened. So,
dude, I was listening to you in the single digits.
No, this is
before
this
that.
Predates Indus.
This predates Indus, yeah.
This is PSO Talk.
Then maybe I don't.
And then check us out on Facebook, Google Plus, and Steam, Interactive Distractions, and you will find us. And you can also find us on the Stitcher Marketplace now. Just for search for Interactive Distractions, and you should find us.
Top of the list.
That's right. Actually, just a completely tangent. The podcast listener that I have on my phone, and I can't remember what it's called right now, but Pocket Casts is what it's called.
Pocket.
And I typed into the search and I typed in Interactive and that was it. And we were number two. I was pretty happy with that.
God damn.
We are sweet. Big time.
We made it.
Sweet ass.
You do have a sweet ass, Scott. Sorry.
What?
It's kind of, I don't know, it's more sour.
I'm sorry. It's getting late. I'm getting late.
Oh,
yeah?
Nice.
Yeah.
Pod. Next thing you'll know, you'll be coming with the Scotty Potty and the Flower Power Sour and all that sort of goodness. It'll be like high school all over again.
That was really painful.
For kindergarten.
Actually. Sweet.
I was shooting for kindergarten. Anyway.
come on, Retroids, and join the community. And while you're on Retroids, you can listen to Scott's podcast. Scott, pimp your shit.
GamersOnlyElder.com. Plow. Done.
Thank you. That's all I've got. So do you guys have anything to wrap before we wrap up and get out of here?
No. You motherfuckers should go to Days of Goo. Like, not even kidding. I think it's going to be an amazing time. I'm going to be there. Let's go.
And I wish I was going to be there, but I will not be, unfortunately. But Scott, thank you very much for joining us on such short notice.
Hey, thank you very much for putting up with my nonsense.
Always. So until next time, thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. Wow. I completely fucked that up, but we're going to leave it in.
Yeah,
so until next time, my name is
Chris. G-off!
Wait,
did I fuck that up?
Yeah. I think I'm done. I'm done. That's who I am.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
Play your games and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, bye.